Doggone it. The Badgers had the number three team on the ropes, and they freaking let it slip out of their hands. I'm Ryan Herrings, Locked On Badgers. I'm sorry this show's coming a little late. Thanksgiving, I was hosting Thanksgiving, so I had to actually record the game and watch it later. On today's Locked On Badgers, we're talking about it. I'm frazzled, but doggone it, they had them. Let's go. Let's talk about it. Badgers, Jayhawks. Let's get into it. Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Badger fans? This is Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings, your team every single day. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening right now, it is Thanksgiving Day. I hope y'all had an incredible day. This reaction show is a little late. Normally we go right after games, but I had to host Thanksgiving today. So I recorded the basketball game. I went radio silent. I didn't look at anything. And then I was able to watch the recording in peace. It just ended. Doggone it. We got Justin here. We're going to talk about it. I really do appreciate everybody tuning in though. But Justin, we had the number three team on the ropes. It was there. It was there for the taking at the end.
And we didn't play particularly well. And had the number three team on the road. We shot 38%. Couple of things I want to say about this game that I really liked. Klesmet is winning me over big time.
Love him.
His defense is incredible for a guy. Like, he's not a high-level athlete, but he rings every last bit of it. He plays really tough and physical on the defensive side without fouling. And, like, yeah, he had Grady Dick just – locked up the entire second half of that game.
Yeah. He also had that huge block in the Dayton game, right, to help seal that victory. Like, mm-hmm. He is so gritty. He had a huge step back three in the second half, too. Mm-hmm. Create a little face, bang a three. He had one in the corner as well in the first half.
He scored well. Did he have, like, 14, something like that?
He had 13. I'd have to look again. I think he was 13. But, like, really, really good game from him. Gritty and a good enough defender. Really solid shooter. I agree. 100%. 100% on Klesmet.
So you want to talk about the guy first, or should I?
Let's go here. I have a lot of things I want to talk about in this show. Let's talk about Hepburn. Yeah, let's okay. Talk about Chucky Hepburn.
We can go Chucky.
I want to talk about Chucky. What were your thoughts on Chucky in this game?
Chucky is not playing well right now, and my first thought right now is Chucky, do the simple things, get in the flow of the game, and then try to make some easy plays. He's not shooting well. He's taking really bad shots. Like, we're talking step back fadeaways on the baseline or from three, and it's like, no, those are heat check shots. Those are shots you're taking when everything's going in and you're like, all right, I'm gonna take the shot to see just how good of a day I'm having. You do not take them in the flow of a game when you're not playing well already as it is. Quite frankly, he killed their offense at times. Like, destroyed the flow of it. He's a ball stopper. He was pounding the ball into the ground a lot today, which I was not a fan of. Lindsey actually played better than him. Like, he just brought it up and got out of the way. No, I'm not saying he statistically was better, but like when he was in there, the offense flowed better because he wasn't trying to do too much with it.
So I would say this. I would say Hepburn's still a big part of their defensive identity. You know, where
he's a very good defender.
Very good defender. Hepburn is trying to shoot himself out of an offensive slump, and he's generating relatively poor shots in doing it. Yeah.
You need to take easy shots. Like,
which is hard to come by with Kansas, to be fair. Yeah. So, like, where I'm at, some of the shots he's taking, you just get other people's shots then. You're the point guard. Like, you can generate offense by creating offense. And he hasn't been able to do that this year. There were five or six legitimately, in my opinion, forced shots that he had in this game.
Oh, yeah.
That they just, you can't, he shot 2 of 9. He had 6 points.
I would say 7 of his shots were probably bad shots.
Just, it's not, and it's really frustrating because there's a part of me that wants him to get to the point where he's comfortable just finding other people offense if his offense isn't there. But he's not at that point right now as a point guard. And that leads into the other issue, in my opinion, that we have is we don't really have a backup point guard either. Like, Lindsey gets warm when he gets the ball. He picks up the dribble.
Yeah, he Yeah, he gets frazzled. He's not a guy who's comfortable with ball pressure at all. And most of these guys aren't because there's not a lot of pressure that they see coming up through high school or whatever.
This is evolving into my biggest problem spot of this team is Hepburn isn't scoring and we don't have a backup point guard. But now let's flip it because coming up next, I want to do some stock up, stock down, talk individual players. Let's talk again. This is more the big picture segment of this show. Let's talk Asijin.
Okay. Well, the kid's turning into a superstar. Like, I mean, he's obviously not going to be there this year, although by the end of the season, I think he could really, really be rounding into form of a top level Big Ten player. The kid has no fear of the moment at all. Like, he was loving it when he started drilling shots and bringing the Badgers back in that game. Like, he was ready to go. And he's got a lot of little crafty things that he does, like where he's got really good anticipation. He's got quick hands and he gets into players and he's one of those guys that you can't let him have you have to be paying attention to him the whole time when he's defending you. Because if you're getting lax or just kind of, you know, not paying attention, he will jab that hand in there and take the ball away from you. And you're like, crap. He's a guy. Honestly, here's my biggest takeaway watching him defend. He's not a problem on the perimeter. Where you're going to have a problem with him is if you get him down in the post where he just does not have the mass and strength in his legs yet to body up somebody that's bigger. And that's why you can't play him at the three right now. Some of the twos he could probably handle, like at least give effort because they're a little more undersized. But yeah, he's definitely not going to handle a 6'6 kid.
Well, it's going to be tough in the Big Ten, right? When those six kids are juniors and they're 230 pounds. Mm-hmm. I would say this though, man, defensively, he's fine. He is. I thought he got a couple steals. He gets his hands in there. He had five rebounds. Like he gets a lot of things.
Yeah. It shows that guard, you know, feels the same way because he was out there at the end of the game. Like they
I was going to say, this was really interesting to me.
How's that 12 minutes per game thing going, by the way?
I thought we said 13. Well, yeah, you're definitely.
He's like, I thought we played 30. We played like 30 minutes, right?
I thought it was like 40. I love Asijin. Listen, I've been a Asijin truther for a long time. I was more worried about guard not playing a young kid. Yeah. That was my concern. But you were all over that. You nailed. He's going to be way over that over. Rajiv thought he was be under 10. That loser doesn't know anything. You know, I thought it was really interesting. The very last possession of the game when they had the ball coming down the court, Kansas has it, and he has him out there. Guard has Asijin out there for the defensive. I thought he would have gone Davis for just straight defensive purposes. Mm-hmm. The fact that Asijin played that last defensive possession I thought was interesting. That's probably a spot, honestly, you would go Davis. I just thought that was really interesting that Asijin was out there in that moment. But here's the thing. I'm at the point where, listen, if Jordan Davis is shooting 0 for 5 and he's shooting very poorly on the year, I don't know if the defense warrants him starting over Asijin.
Well, and going back to the quickness factor, I actually prefer to have Asijin out there because I think he can close out and stay on his man a little tighter than what Jordan can. Like, I just don't think that he's a good defender and positionally. But he's not a guy that can actually take the risks and get away with it. That puts a little extra pressure on the pass from them. Asijin's a little bit better at that. Like, he's got quick enough hands and feet that he can kind of take some risks that are calculated risks, but you never see him seem to get beat off of it. Like, if the person ends up catching it, he recovers very quickly.
Yeah, he's got quick feet. By the way, three-star recruit. This is obviously what a great job by Greg Gard and that staff. Cause this guy's an impact player as a freshman and he's going to be really good by the way, you want to know how my mind works? My mind went really quickly in this game from like guard, you have to have him in at all times to guard, take him out. We're going to lose him to the NBA. It was like, bro, this guy's going to be here a year.
Yeah.
He just started torching.
Well, unless he starts torching for 20 plus in games, I don't think that's happening.
I agree. Like, it's hyperbole.
He's physically, I know. But that's how
my brain works.
But you can kind of see some of the skills that translate if he can put on 25 pounds, you know, of muscle. Yeah. And he's going to get more athletic. That's the thing that's even crazier. It's like, he's a rail right now. If this kid puts on 15, 20 pounds of muscle, he's going to be more explosive. He's going to be a guy who's much more able to work off defenders, and he is gritty with that already. Like, you see him fighting through when he's going through and guys are trying to put their hands on him. He's like sitting there pushing off and stuff in the background. It's like,
that dude's the truth. Yeah, he's a bucket, man. Coming up, I want to do stock up, stock down. I do see TJ in the queue. Definitely got to get TJ on when he calls in, because he's a longtime veteran. So we're going to do some stock up players, stock down players, continue talking about this really tough game, get TJ on the show, take a couple comments, all that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. I can't wait to do it. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Underdog, Underdog Fantasy. It's the easiest way to spice up your college football weekend. Simple to play, simple to get into, and it's a great way to take multiple players in a parlay, 2 to 5 players, different teams. Mike on our Discord does it all the time, really mixing it up. You can take basketball players. You could have taken Tyler Wall going over plus a Graham Mertz and a Braylon Allen line. It's a lot of fun that way, and you can mix up the teams too. So it gives you a ton of options, a ton of flexibility, and it's incredibly easy to use, available in over 30 states. It's one of the easiest fantasy games to play out there, cold hard cash after a single game. Sign up with promo code LOCKEDON, that's one word. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 for free. Go to underdogfantasy.com, find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store, Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code LOCKEDON, one word. Get in on the college football pick'em action today. And then I also want to thank everybody for listening, as always, for tuning in. As always, when you're done here, go check out Locked On Sports Today. All the biggest sports news in one show, like only Locked On can provide, wherever you find podcasts, the Odyssey app, YouTube, Locked On Sports Today. And let's get back to it. Let's bring Justin in. TJ, I want to get you in here because I haven't heard from you in a minute. TJ joining the show, usually talking football. But TJ, what's going on, my friend?
What's up? I haven't been in because I've been busy, you know.
You've been ghosting us, TJ.
Yeah, it probably was a lot to talk about too, but yeah.
What's up, man? What'd you think of the basketball game tonight?
I mean, well, there's good things and bad things. So I'm not like a huge Wisconsin basketball fan, because you know sometimes it's just hard to watch. You know,
no disagreement from us.
I mean, it's, first of all, I don't even know how we were in the game. You know,
they have a top five defense in college basketball. That's really the only reason they were in that game.
Yeah, it almost sounds like the football team.
Yeah, but pretty much.
We need a new offensive coordinator on both teams.
Yeah. So coming into this year, I didn't think we would really have a scorer that can really just go get his own bucket. You know, after Davis left, and I'm kind of still confident we don't have that, but Wall looks good. We battled with the number three team. You know, I mean, a lot of things happened for us to lose that game, and we should have won. I believe we should have taken a timeout when it was a tie game for that last shot, because I don't know what Hepburn is doing. I really don't know what he's doing. I feel like he's trying to do too much. He just needs to just calm down.
It feels like he's not comfortable in his role, and he feels like he should be taking over and kind of being the leader. And it's like, no, man, just go out there and play a good game. Like, that's all you got to do. Don't worry about being the guy. Just worry about making the little plays that lead to the team achieving success. That's all you have to focus on.
I agree, though. He looks like he's trying to do, like, TJ, I agree with your point there. He looks like he's trying to do more than he's comfortable doing right now. He's trying to take over. And the question about the timeout is interesting. Justin, would you have taken a timeout there? Certainly, if the guard probably would have set up something to Wall the way Wall was playing.
My view on it was, if you get it in and push it, then you take the shot. If you're going to bring it up slow like that, then you call timeout, because you're not, there's no advantage. Like, if you're going to push it up the floor and you get a chance to catch them before they can get set, then it's worth it, because you got a chance to, you know, potentially get in the lane, potentially get an easy bucket. You know, I don't like that dribbling out. We've discussed this ad nauseum when it comes to their last second offense. It's like, just run a set.
Right.
Because this does not work.
That's something Rajiv has said a bunch too. Like, go get into offense. Don't just let the point guard try to take some deep fadeaway three.
If we have Devin Harris out there, you know, then you can go ahead and let him just cook out there. We don't have Devin Harris. There's nobody with that kind of quickness on this team that's just going to jet by somebody.
I agree. TJ, man, how was your Thanksgiving?
It got off to a you bad start. And one thing I got to say, what does Crawl even do?
Like, he stands out on the court pretty well.
So here's the thing with Crawl, because we've had a couple people talk about this. I think the expectations coming in for Crawl might have been too high, because he's not – the thing of it is he's not a really, really skilled player quite yet. But he does provide the Badger with size. He had 6 rebounds. He plays pretty good positional defense. But he's not John Luehr yet, right? Like, he's not that guy.
And he's not that athletic. I look at him, my expectations were actually fairly limited. I mean, as a junior, I expected like 10 and 8. Mm-hmm. I would have been happy with that. And we're not getting 10 and 8 from
him. We aren't getting 10 and 8. That's a fair point. All right, TJ. Go ahead. Finish, please.
Outside of Wall, you're not getting much. I keep forgetting his name, but number 3, is he a freshman?
He is a freshman, Connor Sejan.
Yeah, he's like, I guess, the next Brad Davison, I guess.
He is a very good shooter and skilled player, and he is somebody that we've been pretty excited about for a while. And he brought the Badgers back into the game, really. Like, he was able to hit a couple big threes that really provided some momentum and got Kansas on the ropes a little bit. Yeah. He's going to be fun to watch, man. Even if you're not really big into Badgers basketball, I would tune in to watch the Sejan show.
Yeah. Connor has elite scorer's instincts. He just knows the correct move to make at a given time, and he has a very good tempo for a player. So he's going to be a really interesting player to watch grow this year.
All right, TJ, I'm going to get in some comments quick. As always, dude, I really appreciate when you dial in. You always have good insight.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too.
All right, I want to get into a couple comments. Yek said a Sejan to start effective immediately. Justin, I want your take on this, but I actually don't think who starts is the biggest deal. Like, he played 30-plus minutes
today. He's going to get starter's minutes.
If he finishes
going forward, I'll be shocked if he's not getting at least 25 a game.
Yeah, if he finishes, that's more important to me. Like, Manu Ginobili never started, but he finished every game. So I don't really care if he starts. In fact, I kind of like him coming off the bench to stagger him a little bit with some of the starters.
He's a nice slump buster for them in the regard of the offense is stagnating and not playing very well. He gets a chance to jump in there and kind of jolt them a little bit. And I kind of like it because he's not a part of that. Like, he's coming out on his own, providing his own energy in those situations rather than kind of being out there with whatever's going wrong. So I view it as kind of a plus in that way.
I agree. I don't hate him not starting. Clayton, and man, I'm going to butcher this last name. I apologize. Clayton Cernowski. I'm just going to call Cernowski. That dude was out at the end. We should have won that. He's referring to the play where Kansas got an offensive rebound down 63-66 right at the end of the
regulation. Threw it back to the top of the key for a three.
He was actually out of bounds. There's a freeze frame shot of him standing out of bounds. Badgers caught a break. Bad break there. They caught a bad break. Like, looking live, it looked like a 50-50 thing. But yeah, in retrospect, that stinks.
Yeah. I mean, there's every game, there's a few moments that you can look at. You know, it's going to be one of those things where you just got to hope that in the right moment it gets caught.
Listen, I would say this too, really quick. Credit Kansas. So Kansas dominated the offensive glass in this game, and that's an issue for the Badgers. Like, that's something that they've struggled with in Kansas. That was he out? Yes, but it was also the entire game. Kansas was beating the Badgers to 50-50 balls on the offensive glass, and that's really how Kansas won the game. Not just for that last second play. That's how they stayed in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we feel fairly confident saying that the Badgers' defense is about as good as it gets this year in college basketball. And that is their negative aspect of it, is that if you're going to play that hard, you have to get the rebounds off of it and limit the chances. I mean, they did a great job of weathering them even when Kansas got multiple opportunities. But, you know, it's one of those things where this is what's going to happen in bigger games. Like, you'll get through it against teams that aren't as good, but against a team like Kansas, you can't afford to have the second opportunities for them. And it kind of showed. Like, the 3-point shooting is what kept them in the game. They really didn't score much inside. They had a lot of, you know, it wasn't Grady Dick, but there was the other guys shot pretty well from them from the
Outside of it. outside of a slow start, they got cooking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is the number three team in the country. First of all, and we're going to get into stock up, stock down actually in the next segment because we took some comments here, but this Badgers defense is legitimate. Like Kansas had a lot of issues getting clean drives, getting straight line drives into the paint.
They recover really well. Yeah. They really fight through screens.
Mm-hmm. This was a really good game for the Badgers. It's such a shame because this would have been a great resume builder. Just like you had Dayton in the back pocket. If you could put Kansas in the back pocket, you buy yourself some credibility in March when you're starting to battle for the different seeds.
I think what we see from it, though, is it does show us that this is a team that can compete in the Big Ten. Like, there's nobody that is going to be able to likely just run over them throughout the season that they're going to see in the Big Ten. Now, there may be some elite teams that show up in college basketball that can do it to them. But there's nobody in the Big Ten this year that you look at and you're like, okay, they're a powerhouse.
Yeah, agreed. Hugh Scallon, this would be the last comment we take here. And then I want to kind of wrap this show up. By the way, I appreciate everybody taking the time to comment, listen to the show. It is Thanksgiving. Love Connor, but real talk, he didn't box his man out last play in overtime. Who made the winning shot? Just a fresh mistake. Just got to box out.
You know, I'm not going to kill him for that. To be quite honest, there were so many other opportunity plays that ended up costing him this game. We had Crowell miss a dunk with no one around him. Two-hand dunk. You're 6'11". We had Wall miss a wide open breakout layup that he goes up and hears footsteps and short arms it. And, like, in the grand scheme of things, one of those things is harder than the other. I would say finding that guy to box out when the ball is kind of just flying all over the place is probably the toughest of the things to do. It's like things get chaotic on rebounds. They just do. You're kind of left in the moment having to react very quickly and try to figure things out, especially when it's like the way that played out.
Yeah, I mean, it's also correct, right? Like Connor does need to box out. Yeah. That's also correct. But to your point, Justin, and this is also kind of where I'm at on this one, like Hepburn hits two more shots and this game doesn't even go into overtime. Right? Like it feels nitpicky to ask a freshman to
even
come
his free throws. Like that was the thing that was bugging me the most with Chucky is he would get to the line and it's like, you're not even hitting free throws this year. Like last year you were super clutch.
Yeah, it was a bad Hepburn game. And that's where I have a hard time pointing to, and I think this is what you're saying too, that freshman didn't box out on that one play in overtime. Well, he had 17 points. Yeah. Like, you know, like he
carried him the whole second half for the most part, him and Wall.
I'm going to cut him some slack and look at the point guard who was 2-9. But he, like, you're not wrong, Hugh. He definitely needs to box out there, and that stinks. If he does, they probably win the game. Like it's as simple as that. I'm going to take one more break here. Coming up, we're going to do some stock up, stock down. A couple players who are like stock up here and a couple players or things that we're going to say stock down on. And what do we want to change going forward with the Badgers, if anything, on the basketball side? We're going to talk about that next with Justin. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Upside. Everybody right now, we've been dealing with inflation for really almost the better part of a year, and it takes a bite out of your wallet. It's difficult to deal with. It costs more to fill up on gas. It costs more to eat. I pay more when I go get my wings at Buffalo Wild Wings, which I do way too much. I also get a lot of McDonald's. My drive-through guy knows me by name and calls me one of his preferred customers. He had me fill out a survey. Yeah, it's terrible. So I eat out a lot. It's not a good thing, but because of that, I feel inflation. Upside is one of the ways I'm able to fight that. Upside gives me free money back on all the regular day purchases I do. You go, you buy something, you check in with your Upside app, and you get free cash back. It's as simple as that. It's an app, and it's saved people millions of dollars. So all you need to do, go download the app Upside, and use our promo code LOCKED. You get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. And then you just start using that app on all your everyday regular purchases, and you get cash back. Cash back to buy whatever you want. Cash back to help you fight the cost of inflation. Download the free Upside app. Use promo code LOCKED to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Use promo code LOCKED. Again, I want to thank everybody so, so much for tuning in, listening, for watching. We got people in the queue. It's Thanksgiving. I'm so, so thankful for all of y'all. If you get a second, hit that subscribe button because we are challenging Locked On Gophers this week. Get the most subscribers. I really, really do appreciate if we can beat them. Now let's keep talking about the game. Let's get Justin back. And Justin, I want to talk a little stock up, stock down. Give me a player or an aspect of this Badgers team that is stock up for you.
Oh, I said it earlier, Max Klesman. I really like his game. I think he's a perfect fit for that spot on the court for them. He's not a guy who requires a lot of attention in terms of like needing the ball. He just kind of does, you know, the little things out there. He's a really good defender. He's a good outside shooter. And he's actually got a decent amount of athleticism. Like he's, he's a guy who is not afraid to take it in the paint and go up to the rim with it. We saw it a couple of times. Did that nice job on the breakout where he got the layup. You know, that was a nice, impressive play for him. I'm not sure we see Brad Davison do that last year in that quite that way. So I think he's a little more athletic than Brad was. Brad just made so many killer plays. Like, they're different players. I actually like Klesman as a more physical defender than what Brad was. I think he's a little bit better of an athlete, but Brad was so good at getting in front of guys for charges and stuff like that.
That's a great one. Klesman was on my list as well. I think you nailed that. I've been surprised pleasantly with Klesman and his defense and his athleticism. I'll give you another stock up for me. I think this is an obvious one after today, but for me, it's Tyler Wahl, who had an incredible second half.
Yeah.
You know, I think people came into this season saying, I felt like the discussion was, who is the best player in this team? Is it Wahl? Is it going to be Hepburn? It's clearly Tyler Wahl.
Oh, yeah. It's not close.
Clearly Tyler Wahl.
When he's playing at his peak, he is the best player on the court.
He was incredible in that second half, and he really willed the Badgers into that, playing really hard. So I'm going to say stock up Tyler Wahl. I have one more, but I'm going to kick it back to you to see if you have anything else, either player or aspect of this team that you're going to stock up on.
Oh, man. Well, the big three players that I thought really played well today were Klesmet, Connor, and Wahl. Those were the guys that I was most impressed with. Most of the other guys are kind of a work in progress right now. You see little hints here and there. Marcus Ilver, it's nice to see him get out on the court, but you know, you see him do something good, and he's kind of playing the way we thought Connor would play this year to an extent, where he takes one step forward and then one step back, and it's like, okay, I know you're learning what you can do out there, but it's right. Like, man, you drive me nuts. I will say this. I will give, and some of the fans have been beating him down, Gilmore does so many glue things out on the court that he does pretty well. And it's like, no, he's not an elite athlete, but he does a lot of little things that fans just don't appreciate that make him very, very valuable out on the court. He really defends hard. Like, he's not a great athlete, but he gives everything he can in that role. And he plays physical.
Yeah.
Like, he's much more physical than Crowell out there when he goes out there and he's playing second. But he was out there when they made their run in the second half.
He's a solid defensive player, too. He's underrated in that aspect.
He moves well. Against the big, he moves well.
He's definitely a little underrated in that aspect. That's a really good one. How about let's shift over to stock down. I think we both talked about Chucky Hepburn. He's on my stock down list. That's three bad games in a row, by the way.
Yeah.
This is becoming a thing that he can't find offense.
He's really got to just make it, simplify it for himself. And he's got to make it where it's like, I got to get everyone else involved. And the offensive plays will come back to me. Like, you got to give the ball up and it will come back to you kind of way. That's, you know, in basketball, they say make the extra pass. Well, if you keep doing that kind of stuff, eventually somebody's going to be making the extra pass to you. So just keep working with it. Keep cutting, doing everything else. Wisconsin's not a traditional point guard team. They're not a driving kick team. So he's going to be moving throughout the offense. He's basically just starting the offense. Like, it's not really his job to necessarily have to worry about playing the point guard position once they get into their set. So he's, in my opinion, it's like, just work by cutting, you know, do the little things, try to get an easy layup or something like that. Like that's the big thing we've talked about with Connor. He cuts so well. Like, there's, do that little stuff like that and somebody will find you.
A couple of those today for Connor. I would take it a step further. So we talked Hepburn. I think my stock down, bro, I really think it's the point guard spot in general. Yeah. So it's Hepburn has struggled. Lindsay, listen, as soon as the scouting,
he's doing his best, but
absolutely he's doing his best. But the scouting report is out. When he comes on the court, other teams light him up with pressure and he can't handle it. He picks up the ball. And then Kamari McGee came in and you instantly saw, what did Kansas do? Post up Kamari McGee. Like, this spot might be a problem this year. In general, like, that's a stock down for me. How about another one? Do you have any other stock downs, either individual player or aspects of this team that are bothering you?
Well, I mean, I think if we're going to be honest about it, the center position's driving me nuts. Like, there's if Wall's not scoring in the interior, we effectively turn to a five-out team, and we don't shoot well enough to be a five-out team. You have to have somebody that can do something in the paint, and Crowell has got to be more physical down there and really push. Like, you have length on everybody, dude. All you got to do is get close and go up with it. Odds are you're probably getting fouled like one out of every two times.
And that was TJ's point too. Like, what is going on with Steven Crowell? Yeah, he certainly hasn't asserted himself.
He doesn't get very low in his posts, I'll say that. Like, and you could tell that guys get under him. His unfortunate negative is his body composition. He's got very long legs and a very short torso. He'd be better off if he's a little more balanced, because if you can sit a little lower center of gravity, it's easier to post if you're shorter. Like,
yeah, he's built more.
Guys like can get under him. Yeah.
He's built more like a pick and pop guy, but he's not hitting his threes the last couple of games.
No, he's not. That is driving me nuts. And they're wide open looks.
But very short sample size. I want to emphasize that again. Like, he could go on a three-game binge here where he hits some, but if he's not going to hit those threes consistently, it becomes a problem. I think that kind of wraps up for basketball. We're already at 31 minutes. But, Justin, we haven't really talked the axe with you. I just want to say, how do you see this game going? How would you pick it?
I'm really uncomfortable with this game, to be quite honest. Minnesota has the one thing that they can lean on. Like, we both have pretty good defenses. Minnesota can lean on their running game and can get positive outcome with that. I don't see anything on the offensive side that I'm confident that Wisconsin can do offensively, especially if Minnesota's defense is legit.
So which it has been most of the year.
Yeah. So it could come down. It's going to be close no matter what. Like, they run the ball fairly well, but they don't run that well that they're going to sit there and start breaking off chunks of 20 or 30 yards on us consistently. It's going to be one of those games where it's just they may maintain drives better. So this could end up being a 17-10 game we lose, and we just really struggle to maintain drives, which is what I think will likely happen, actually. I would love to see us win this. I would like to see the defense come out with their hair on fire and just absolutely blow them up, because I don't think they have a passing threat in this game at all.
Excuse me, I have to cough. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's low scoring. I think both passing games struggle. I do have the Badgers winning, but because I would never pick. Listen, I would never pick Minnesota anyway, if I'm just being real. Yeah. Like, I do think
it's I don't want to. Looking at it objectively, it's like, I don't feel confident in anything that we're doing offensively right now.
Yeah, I agree. We do have a Kansas fan came in, said good game. On his next comment said Kansas is a young team. Listen, Kansas is really good this year. Ton of length and just shooters.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to be great.
The only thing they're really lacking is they're just missing a legit center.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody with big size.
They're a little young, but y'all are great. You're going to do great. And also Running Man came in with a comment, Jordan Davison for Chucky on the final defensive stand in overtime. Who was he going to stop? See, I actually didn't notice that. I was watching a Asijin, and I didn't realize that Jordan Davis came in for actually Chucky Epren. So I missed that. So good call, Running Man, if that was the case. I completely missed that. Yeah, what a bummer. Justin, thank you for jumping in as always, man. Yeah, I know no problem. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk after the Minnesota game. You jumping on the live?
Yeah, I'll be on there.
That's going to be a fun one. I mean, because I was telling
well, hopefully Regine, it's a fun one.
It's going to be fun. The live is going to be fun no matter what, right? Yeah. Because people are going to be fired up one way or another.
True.
And I was telling Rajiv, this is going to be the best live therapy section of the year. Like, I think we're going to try to get him on, you on, and maybe even Scott on. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, man. For everyone listening, I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving too. I really appreciate everybody tuning in. Heartbreaker for the Badgers that they drop a 1-point loss in overtime to the number three team in the country. But I think that also bodes well for the Badgers going into Big Ten play, like Justin was saying.
Coming into the season, we never would have expected them to be able to play with a team like Kansas. So
it's almost better if you get beat by 15, right, in a game like this, so you don't get your heart broken. But on Wisconsin, get the axe. Let's go. Happy Thanksgiving.